Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
We're cooking two veggie dishes today. Both blanch and shock the veggies, and both use sesame flavors. Check it out. But first, here's Mia Partlow with a look at this week's news.
Oyster season opened on Monday under the shadow of the BP oil spill. Recent noise about the cleanup has been relatively quiet, as fish from the region have been tested as free of contaminants, and White House-sponsored events have promoted the Gulf's seafood. However, with sales down 62% this year, the oil spill has already hurt the seafood industry. When oyster season opened on Monday, only half as many trucks as normal waited at the docks. Large buyers are tentative to invest in the food, such as Supreme Lobster and Seafood Company, an Illinois-based distributor that sells to Las Vegas. Their insurance carriers advise them to keep Gulf oysters out of stock because the hotels that Supreme Lobster and Seafood Company sell to are worried that customers may sue over claims of oiled oysters. News of yet another egg recall came from Ohio this week. The nation's largest egg distributor, Calmain Foods, says it's recalling nearly 300,000 eggs from supplier Ohio Fresh Eggs in Croton after testing showed the presence of salmonella in an egg. Sources say no illnesses have been reported. The contaminated eggs were distributed in Arkansas, California, Illinois, Iowa, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Texas. And a new study analyzes fast food marketing and how it targets kids. Fast Food Facts was developed by the Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity at Yale. It found that the fast food industry spent $4.2 billion in 2009 on TV advertising and other media, with advertisers specifically targeting Hispanic and African American youth. 84% of parents reported taking their child to a fast food restaurant at least once a week, with teens purchasing 800 to 1,100 calories in an average visit. You can get more news updates like this by liking us on Facebook and following us on Twitter. For Earth Eats, I'm Mia Partlow.
Our two recipes today use vegetables, but we're devoting a little bit of time this week to a fruit, often mistaken for a vegetable, pumpkin. We're celebrating pumpkins throughout the month of November on the website by posting recipes for a pumpkin soup, toasted pumpkin seeds, a how-to guide for making your own pumpkin puree. All of these savory dishes, well, we figured that we needed to give pumpkin pie a chance to shine as well. So that's where Earth Eats blogger Natalie DeWitt comes in.
It seems like it's a really average recipe in that everyone has their own recipe, but they always seem to taste kind of the same, and it really comes down to the crust.
DeWitt prepared 4 unique crusts and 6 unique pumpkin pie fillings for a pumpkin pie taste-off. One of the pies was store-bought just to throw off the tasters. She used this challenge as an opportunity to experiment in the kitchen. She used a vegan recipe for the very first time, she rendered her own lard for one of the crusts, and she made her own pumpkin puree from sugar pumpkins she bought at the farmer's market.
It's just the steps of breaking down any type of vegetable that you would use. So you chop off the top and then slice it in half, scoop out the seeds, and just lay it on a cookie sheet with a little bit of water, and you let it roast for an hour. That's all there is to it.
Let's talk about what you're anticipating. If you could guess what people are going to like, I mean, what do you think?
I really hope that the local pie is the best, just because I put so much work into it, and that was the one that definitely cost the most. It took the most time between rendering the lard for the crust, making the crust, roasting the pumpkins, scooping them out, and making the puree. And I used my best pan for it, so it maybe will convey this is the best one. I'm really hoping that no one thinks that the Sara Lieb store-bought one is the best. That will make me cry a little bit, especially because of all the work I put into the other pies. But I hope people don't know that the vegan one is vegan, because I think a lot of people think that vegan food is gross, but most of it isn't.
Well, let's go out and do the pies.
Yes, let's do it.
She labeled the pies A through F to make it a true blind taste test.
So dig in, guys.
I tried F, and I think I only tried it because it looked bigger than the other ones.
So we're eating
letter F, yep. There seem to be other people who think that F is the best.
I know, the word is spreading about F.
It's delicious. Somebody said it best, that it has the best sort of look to it.
Can I have a really small piece, though?
Mm-hmm. Can I talk to you?
You can. I don't know how helpful I will be, because I'm only tasting crust.
Well, and this one is like crumbly
is
cookie.
Like, yeah, it almost doesn't get to count against the rest, because it's the favorite, for sure.
So why are you just tasting crust? I'm curious.
I love pumpkin, but I don't like pumpkin pie. It's a texture thing. Pumpkin bread? Down with it. Pumpkin muffins? Yes. Pumpkin cake? Yes. Pumpkin pie? Can't do it. Yeah.
Are you a big fan of pumpkin pies?
No. It's my first time to test pumpkin pie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because there are not a lot of pumpkin in my country.
Where are you from?
I'm from Taiwan.
So we're tasting C together.
Because I love pecan, so I pick this one. Very rich flavor and with the crust. It's great. Fantastic.
I am trying F, and the one with the pecans on top of it, it tastes very, I don't know how to say it, like organic and kind of like grass. Not in a bad way. I mean, it still tastes like a pumpkin pie, but it tastes completely different from F. And the more that you, like, it's like wine, you know, the more that it sits in your mouth, and once it's done, then it tastes different. Try it.
Is this one the vegan one?
Mm-hmm. Something was off about it.
But it's,
no,
just,
it's different. Completely different.
Would you like this?
Sure. Thank you.
When you do something and you do it right and it tastes good and you can see the joy in people's faces, it makes you really happy. It's a way that you can connect with them, and maybe you can't verbally or other ways.
I cannot eat anymore.
I don't know if you could guess, but the vegan pie, letter C, the one with the pecans on the top, started the most conversations. And as DeWitt hoped, her all-homemade pie was letter F, and it was voted the favorite. You can see pictures of the pumpkin pie tasting event and read the complete article on eartheats.org, and check out all our photos on our Flickr page. From the homepage, scroll down to the bottom right and click Add Your Photos. Now on to the veggies. Chef Orr picked these long beans from his garden in Columbus, Indiana. They can grow up to 2.5 feet long, and if you pick them when they're tender enough, it's like eating a pasta.
One thing that we talk a lot about in Earth Eats is blanching and shocking, kind of a shock and awe. And so that's what we're going to do today. We've got some nice salted boiling water. You can do this at home in a smaller scale. You drop your green beans in there, or any kind of green vegetable, whether it's broccoli or asparagus. And what you want to do is totally submerge your vegetable in the boiling salted water. And you're going to let that cook for about 2 to 3 minutes. Okay, and then the other half of that is the shocking part. In this bin over here, we have ice water. You can see the nice ice cubes in here. We want it to be real, real cold. So bring down the temperature of those green beans, hold in all their nutrients, and also keep their nice vibrant green color. If you were to cook them in less than boiling water, they would turn kind of khaki army green, and they'd also leach out a lot more of their minerals. So we want to keep the vitamins and minerals in there by using this really nice method of cooking. The other thing that we can do with this is, once you've blanched and then you've shocked, you can package those green beans up and put them in the refrigerator, and they'll last for 2 or 3 days. They'll be ready for salads, for vegetable side dishes, just to eat in the middle of the night if you're hungry. Nice little snack there. All right, I'm just going to give these a little sample taste. Okay, perfect. Do you want to try one?
Yes, please.
And we'll move on to the next step of these nice sautéed long beans. Got a nice hot pan. You could use a wok if you're so inclined. A little bit of oil. I'm going to add garlic. Very, very hot. Ginger. I don't want my stuff to burn here. So I'm going to quickly add my long beans. Okay, stir them around. Okay, the whole thing is very quick cooking. You're getting kind of a toasted garlic flavor. Since the beans are already cooked, all we need to do is really reheat them. I'm going to add some other ingredients. Got some bamboo shoots, some water chestnuts, and some cherry tomatoes, and those are just going to give me some nice color. And then for seasoning, got some toasted sesame seeds. Okay, so it's really starting to look like an Asian stir fry. And this is great for a side dish. You could do it with some grilled or roasted fish or chicken. Or you could add some firm tofu to this and you'd have a main course. Just serve it with a side dish of rice or a little polenta or something like that. Okay, serve it family style. You smell that toasty garlic and the sesame. Okay, we're just going to put some lemon wedges around it. And you've got a great side dish, perfect for a nice low-cal, quick weekday dinner.
You can also serve this as a cold salad. If you can't find Asian long beans, you can use regular green beans in this dish. Check out the complete recipe on our website, eartheats.org. And we're also blanching the veggies in this next dish, so you can get a lot of practice with this technique. Keep the sesame oil out as well. We'll use that for the tasty dressing for this spinach salad.
We've got some soy sauce, a couple teaspoons of fish sauce, about a teaspoon of toasted sesame oil. And you can get those really in any big supermarket, but definitely at any ethnic market. They're kind of your secret arsenal. Add them to any of your dishes, and all of a sudden they start to taste a little more exotic. Basically, fish sauce is anchovies, fresh anchovies that are dried, and then they're covered with water and in barrels, and then left in the sun for about a year.
Doesn't that sound tasty, folks?
And it does smell strong, but it tastes great. And if you like Thai food, Vietnamese food, there's usually a little bit of fish sauce in those dressings. The sesame oil is made with white sesame seeds that are toasted and then pressed, so you get a toasted sesame flavor. So that's how that's made. About 2 tablespoons of sesame seeds. We're going to add some scallions. I'd say about three or four scallions. Okay, and then finally I'm going to add some ginger. Probably add about a teaspoon and a half. I'm cutting the ginger across the grain.
And you're not taking time to peel it.
No, when the ginger is young and the skin is smooth, you don't really need to peel it. Now, this is a dish you don't want to add like a citrus or lemon juice to it because it's going to discolor your spinach. You could always add a little bit at the end if you wanted to, but I don't think it's really necessary. Okay, we're going to toss our spinach in this.
That's what you're looking for?
Yeah. Delicious.
When you see photos of this dish on our website, you'll notice an orange-colored sauce drizzled around the spinach. And if you've listened to episodes past, you'll remember this stuff from everything from the grilled asparagus to the Harrison Lake Garden Burger. This is the MVP in the kitchen, this red pepper sauce. Talk about the taste. Does this sauce just sort of go with everything?
It does, and my staff sometimes, they're like, oh, the red pepper coulis again. But I really like it. It's one of those things, one of those secret ingredients that you can keep around that makes your cooking look snazzy and taste great. What you do is you roast the peppers, puree them with some olive oil, garlic, a little bit of vinegar. It just kind of gives you a nice little punchy roasted vegetable flavor.
See photos, print recipes, and check out the conversations going on our blog. It's all at eartheats.org.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop.
Production support also comes from goodsforcooks.com, online at goodsforcooks.com.
Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time.